I got these things. These things are awesome.
Hey, you
want? Is that the Rock's drink? How is that, man?
So I didn't even know The Rock owned this.
Is this the official plug?
No, I tweeted at them to make me a sponsor. I asked them to sponsor me. So I didn't know it was The Rock's, to be honest. I saw this and I was like, because I just go on Amazon to grab my stuff from, and they were on Amazon. And there was another brand that I used to grab on Amazon, but I've been kind of falling out of it with them.
Mm.
So I was like, what else is on here? And these guys had pretty decently priced ones.
Yeah, he just announced it on Instagram that they were coming to Canada. So it's pretty recent.
So they've been on Amazon for a good part of the year. So I've been getting them for months now.
Oh, really? I thought they weren't in Canada yet.
No, like Amazon.ca, I've been able to order cases for a while.
I didn't know that. Maybe it's kind of in store. I remember him announcing that on, maybe it was an old.
Yeah, so I didn't, that's why
wheel
I didn't,
or something.
So that's why I didn't even know it was a Rock's brand until I like got the shipment and I looked it up. I'm like, yo, why is The Rock in all the friggin' tweets? And they're like the big XFL sponsorship. I'm like, well then, now I feel like a basic little.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? It's about nothing.
Just want these guys to know you got another thing coming, bitch. I'm still around.
It actually tastes bomb. That's why I started grabbing these. They taste bomb. They're pretty healthy.
He's on a run, eh? XFL, tequila.
I mean,
this stuff, movies. He's doing well.
He had the greatest glow up post wrestling, I think, overall. You think? I don't think anyone saw the trajectory of his career after like WWE.
I think he shed his persona as a wrestler. Like when you say Rock, I think the people that are fans are fans, but people that are maybe not into wrestling don't even
realize.
Yeah, it's more all the movies he's done and the celebrity that he is. But
do you really think that overshadows The Rock? Like The Rock is a wrestler. Like that's.
No, I think there's a generation of kids out there that don't remember him wrestling.
Cause he
when did he leave? When did he officially leave?
Like early 2000s.
When's the
like
Scorpion King? Someone search that.
When was that stupid? It was like 2005. I think.
Nah, it was before that.
Attitude Era ended around 2005, right?
Scorpion King came out 2002.
But Scorpion King wasn't. It was a breakthrough movie, but it wasn't like he left wrestling all of a sudden. He kept wrestling.
Final match.
When was it? 2003.
When was his breakout movie?
2003, wasn't it? What you just said, Scorpion King.
No, what that wasn't breakout. That was that was a pretty bad. That was a bad movie.
I thought it was a pretty bad movie too.
What was the movie?
Scorpion King.
Scorpion King.
It was like a movie. It was a popcorn movie. It wasn't bad. It wasn't the greatest.
I want to watch The Apocalypse now.
I mean, he had. Let's see here. The Rundown was 2003. Walking Tall, 2004.
Walking Tall was pretty good. I like Walking Tall. That's when he got a nice series. Yeah, that was a good movie.
Yeah.
That was when everyone's like, okay, this guy's, you know.
He's in this acting thing for real.
Faster, 2010. Tooth Fairy, 2010.
Fast and the Furious, I think, is really what put him on the map overall, grand scheme of things.
Yeah, Snitch, 2013. And then Fast and Furious. Was he in the 2009 one?
He was in all of them once he started, except for this recent one when he started beefing with them. Him and Vin Diesel.
Him and Diesel are beefing?
Yeah, they started beefing after
the last one.
You know, because Rock went and did his own Fast and the Furious, and he didn't involve the Vin Diesel and these guys. And Vin Diesel also like commented before that he thinks Rock's kind of a drama queen. And like there was like this whole like public bickering and stuff, and then Rock was just like, you know what, I'm not going to comment on this stuff anymore, I'm going to move on with my stuff. And then last Fast and the Furious, they really try to get Rock back in it, and he's just like, nah, I'm done with this franchise, I'm moving on, we got bigger and better things going on. And it was I remember reading up on this, it was him and Kevin Hart, they were really quick to jump on promoting the movies via their social medias, like well into the movie's production. So before the movie even gets announced, they're like, guess what movie we're going to be working on? Guess who I'm working on? And they kind of take you throughout the whole movie's development with each other, that the movie was already overhyped before it like actually released an official trailer. And they were just talking how big The Rock's social media and how big Kevin Hart's social media game were. That people wanted them on their projects. On it,
yeah.
Like they were able to promote beyond
Fast Five was 2011.
Yeah,
so a while ago, man. Yeah.
Yeah, 11 years ago. Rock's been killing it. I've always had like this man appreciation crush. Not really a crush, but it's, you know, one of those. I want to be like the Rock.
Yo, where is the age? The guy's like.
Yeah, growth hormone, bro. There ain't way. Come on. He's doing TK, no tomorrow. It's fine. It's okay.
Why does it matter? He's not competing in the Olympics. Someone actually had this debate with me, or not debate. They kind of. Because I was like, man, steroids are so bad. They're like, why? I was like, yeah, I don't know, man. You got to be natural. He's like, what? You freaking trying to be Mr. Olympiad? It's like, yo, if you're getting old,
if you had your kids, you're not like any competition, then why not?
Yeah, he's like, you're not cheating.
If there's a safe way to do it, why not?
There is, testosterone and all this stuff that is shunned in sport. You know, if you're just trying to stay healthy, stay in shape, and want to put on a nice physique, like, why would you go through the hassle of being all prideful over that? They're like, unless you're in competition, it doesn't matter. And I was like, you make a great friggin' point. Can I get the number of your dealer?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially after you have kids. A lot of the stick it in
for me. So, yeah, do they just go to the gym and be like, steroids?
Yeah. TK.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I'd be open to, like, I think after a certain age, they say you almost need testosterone and HGH. To continue to.
Shinza's going to be jacked in the next podcast. Just
1 weekend.
Shinza's 1 weekend.
Yeah, none of us actually ran in the marathon that we're supposed to run in.
There was no marathon. What marathon?
Dude, yeah. Did you guys get that email from the marathon? People were stealing water packs.
What?
Yeah, no, so I didn't see this. The Toronto Marathon just emailed, like, literally a few hours ago. And sent an email. They wanted to apologize because food was being stolen at the venue, the bottles of water, the water stations were wrong, barriers were set up incorrectly. Supposedly from an organization standpoint, it was a mess. So I'm kind of happy we sat this one out, boys. I think we made the right decision.
I think we're owed a refund for the lack of organization.
It's for charity, bro.
Refund. Damn. Charity, yeah.
I applied for a refund. I was like, I took a picture of my foot, attached it.
Oh my God.
I was like, sir.
Please.
But it was funny because the people who I didn't think were actually going to do it actually did do it.
Oh, wait, really? And how was their times?
Oh, they terrible. Did it within an hour.
No.
That's still impressive.
What, an hour, 8 minutes? That's impressive for a 10K.
That's not within an hour, though. You got to be careful. You got to be careful with your words here.
Hold on, what do you mean?
An hour, 10 minutes?
That's still pretty good. And this is a person who's not a runner?
Nope. Didn't do any sort of training for this.
No, impressive.
He jogged it. Guggen jogged it. We're going to use his name, Guggen. He deserves it. I'll say his name.
Yo, kudos to him, man. I don't think I could do that.
This guy pulled ultimate Uno card because he registered the same time we said we were going to register, which we did.
Yeah.
And then Ranji was like chirping him for 4 months, calling him a bitch for not registering. And then last minute, when he knew Ranji wasn't going to do it at all, he's like, reverse Uno card, bitch. I'm in. Yeah. And then...
Kudos to him, man.
Yeah. I'm glad I can motivate him to do something positive with his life.
But hey, I said, look, man, you own this W. I'm not going to talk shit. I all praise to you because...
Yeah, I think we all took L's on that one. I didn't even have an excuse. I just said, you guys aren't running, so I'm not running either.
I couldn't. I had a tournament.
I'm injured still. I still can.
So I just didn't want to.
I just got to the point now that I can, like... So, I propose a new challenge.
Oh, God. Are we going to keep this one this time?
I don't know. I'm not trying to build suspense. I'm really just trying to think about this one twice. Am I going to commit to this? I don't even know if I'm going to commit to it. That's why
Are you running again?
We all have Fitbits, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
We all have
Apple Watch.
Yeah. We all have some way to crack
Garmin. We're turning on Garmin. Yeah, Garmin.
So what about 100,000 steps by the end of summer? Is that a lot? Not enough?
100,000. What's the average in a day?
I do about 4,000.
A day? So how would 100,000 be by the end of summer? Let's do the math.
I'm not good at math. I ain't a mathematician, sir. I use a calculator for this shit. Is that too little? Yeah. 500,000?
If you're doing 5,000 a day, You do 5,000 a day?
Yeah. So 20 days?
Just do the math.
5,005. Man, well,
this five is... Five times seven.
35.
Three zeros. That's at three zeros. That's your entire week, right? Times it by four. That's your month.
You don't have to break it down like I'm an idiot. Just give me a number. Like, what the hell? This guy is...
100,000, not a lot. There you go.
All right. It didn't seem like a lot after when I did that. Said it out loud, but... I'm sure
you did 5,000.
Randy's doing about 10K a day, I think.
I have 10K days, but not... They're sporadic. Right.
Okay, so 100,000, probably not. That's like...
I've never even looked.
All right.
Yeah, this past week I was hitting like 16,000 a day, man. It was crazy.
Actually, so the real challenge that I kind of wanted to suggest was golf, some sort of golf thing between us.
I'm in.
Yeah, I'll do that.
But then I was like, yo, I think both of you guys are way better golfers than me. I don't even think this is a challenge. So
No.
I haven't played. And golf, everyone sucks at golf.
Everyone says they suck at golf until they freaking go to the golf field and all of a sudden they got perfect form and they start complaining about, I chipped it a little bit there, Roger. It's like, what the fuck does chipped even mean? I don't even know what these things mean. I just don't think. Huh?
That's the challenge you want to take on?
No, that's golf? Why I didn't. No, that's why I freaking tried to pivot as quickly as I could while I was having that brain freeze to 100,000 steps. And you kind of killed that by showing me that that's a week's worth of walking. So anyways, another elephant in the here. Moving quite along, talking about walking.
Yeah, come up with a challenge. just move on. No walking.
Look,
why don't we just do a golf thing? Who cares? Well, we'll have a day of it. Shinda can shoot some content while we do it anyways.
All right.
Yeah, there we go. Golf it is.
We'll do golf it is, I guess. I probably need to go get
is this an open where are we inviting other people that just wanna beat us?
No, let's just keep it to us.
one guest.
We'll decide on one guest.
We need four.
Let's not pretend like we have enough listeners to hold a golf event.
let's get one really good guy.
One person who can film the event.
I'll get one really good person.
Of all the people that we listen to, we're gonna get people just wanting to come on just so they can shit on us. Just like, look at me, I'm better than all these guys.
Pretty much.
We need to find someone worse than us. That's the real thing here, but. And I think the golf thing would be a great, and we probably do 10,000 steps while doing it. So win.
All right.
I'm done.
You know what'd be cool is if we could do like a golf thing with custom rules. It's like, who can, why complicate it? A fast round where you have like, I'm overcomplicated.
Wait, what, just speed golf? Are you talking about like speed golf? Like you hit it and you're like timed? Speed chess golf. Kind of idea. Yeah.
Speed golf. You don't get timed really, like you have no practice swings. You just got to get done. You get bonus points for finishing the course fastest, but I don't really think that flies.
It wins the last time.
We still don't have Top Golf here, eh?
Hmm?
Top Golf.
I heard we're getting one, but we don't have one.
Not yet. It's pretty cool, man. Have you guys been?
It's so much fun. I love doing it.
So much fun. It's amazing.
I've never been. Why? What's Top Golf? Like, I understand. Like, I thought it was just a driving range.
It's like a driving range, but there's like targets and it gives you scores and what tracks your swing. And then, you know, they have a little seated area around it, you order food. It's just a good time out.
It sounds like bowling.
It sounds, I mean, that's a good analogy. But it's a good time out. I mean, it's chill.
Yeah. So,
I mean, some golf, I think there's, it's, if it comes to Toronto, I think it'd be pretty good. Hopefully it does.
I heard they are, but. I have no idea. It's not like Waffle House. We have IHOP now.
IHOP's been here for a while though, hasn't it?
We got Niagara one in Brampton, right? We got one in Brampton by the Applebee's. Have you guys ever been inside an Applebee's? Because I can't remember the last time I've been in an Applebee's.
I've gone to Applebee's in the States.
Hold on, where the hell is the Applebee's in Brampton?
There's an Applebee's on Steeles. Right beside Cineplex. Where the Cineplex used to be.
Didn't it change over to something else?
Did it? All right, I need to get out more. I thought there was an Applebee's right there. That was like the weirdest.
Oh, that's you're saying it's an IHOP now. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, they have an IHOP there. But
does anybody actually like IHOP? I think we just go to Denny's anyways.
Yeah, I've been more of a Denny's person.
When's the last time you guys have done that though?
cold. Late night. Proper
oh,
Denny's.
No, not
the late night. Did you ever go to Denny's?
Just Niagara hockey tournament weekend.
Denny's?
Late night? Like
4 a.m.
What was the order?
Pancakes.
Buffalo chicken strips with ranch sauce.
Robbie approves. I remember in Ottawa, that was the go-to thing because that was the only thing open past 9.
Yeah, we did that last day. I remember.
It was always the same thing. Apple crumble.
Yeah, we always finished off with that.
Finished off? What, are you guys having a three-piece meal there?
We had big meals.
Burger.
We finished off.
Apple crumble took up, I don't know, I probably spent way more on Denny's than I could have afforded in hindsight.
Yeah, Denny's can get pricey.
Especially when you're there for a long time, but
I used to go to that one on Queen all the time before it moved. So I guess where that Proto restaurant is. And there was always that one guy working there, and it was like 10 years. It was the same dude working late night.
I don't hear talking about the South Indian dude. The South Indian guy.
South Indian dude. I've always wondered what happened to him.
He was still working there when they moved. He was still working at the new one.
Yeah, man, that guy was there for a while. OG.
And he worked like all shifts because it doesn't matter what shift you went, he was still there.
That's the one guy you saw.
Now that's brand building.
They just called him Denny.
Oh, shit. But yeah, we'll do the golf thing. Maybe July or August. I don't know. Oh, snap. One thing I wanted to talk to you guys about. You guys rent cars recently or have experience renting cars, obviously?
I know where they're going.
I saw your Twitter. Yeah.
They're just going, and I downloaded the app.
Yo, Turbo's kind of legit.
No, it's not.
Why not?
It's not.
Why not?
Because, first of all, like, fine, you're paying. Okay, look, I'll give you a direct comparison. I'm going to LA in August for 10 days for a wedding.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a little bit of vacation of it, too. All my family's going, so I booked a big car, okay? I booked, something like a Suburban or Escalade.
Or it's similar. Cause...
$1,500 Canadian for 10 days. Taxes, insurance, everything in.
That seems pretty cheap. That doesn't seem like a regular
plan. No, it is. I think it's normal. Anyways, Turo is charging me for a smaller Range Rover, $1,300 US plus their insurance. You have to get insurance and high-end cars. You can't just go with their base insurance package. You have to get their premium insurance package. It costs way more. At a certain point, you get more variety in cars than you do with a rental, but you're not saving any money. The value is not there. Unless you actually are in the market for like one of these high-end cars, you actually want to drive it and like see what it's like, then yeah, fine. Take Turo for a day or two. Other than that, like, it doesn't replace the rental market, man. No way.
And I was looking locally, like in Vancouver, we're headed to Vancouver, and I was comparing prices and what the main chains are all charging was like $1,200 for a week, $1,300 around there for the week. And then Turo, when we looked at it, it was like $450 pre-insurance and like pre-checkout costs. So I don't know how much that like adds up to.
Yeah, then there's like these extra fees to pick it up at the airport and drop it off at the airport too, right? Because you got to have someone come there and take it too. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, so I haven't gone through the full checkout, but I was like, yo, this is half the price of what I'd be paying. And I've been and the thing that I hate the most about renting is the Ford Edge or similar, where you like pick your size of car, but they give you similar, and then when you get it, you're like, this is a little smaller than that.
Yeah, or a lot older than what you showed me. I rented one last summer in San Francisco. I got like a 2019 Camry that smelled like cigarettes. It was shit.
I would have been like, yo, I can't do this. I can't, because I literally cannot stand the smell of cigarettes to the point it has me coughing and wheezing. So
yeah,
I don't know. I haven't used Turo. I was big on Airbnb for a while, and then it's kind of like, well, the hotels still have their place, so.
I mean, the best is when you get a rental car, it's like brand new, has like 18 kilometers on it. It's the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the best. Okay. It feels like the stickers are on there. You're like, yeah, it's my car.
My biggest thing with rentals is when you get the rental and they're like, we're sorry, sir. We don't have the one that you booked, but we can give you a free upgrade to the next one just to make up for it. I'm like, what? That sounds beautiful. Give me the next one. But it doesn't seem to happen so too often these days for me. So
it happens. Then you go from like a decent car on gas to like a upscale gas guzzler. Like,
the gas companies have gone to Robbie. I haven't. So my first experience with Turo was they didn't have any options. Now they seem to have a lot more people on it. So I don't know. We'll try it out in Vancouver. Hopefully everything goes good. If it doesn't,
yeah, up... let's see.
I mean, I'm always open to taking risks and trying things, but I recently got off Airbnb now because someone tried to ding us with like an expense. I'm like, no, that's not something we should be covering. Your insurance should be covering that. And then,
oh, really?
What happened? It was like a little nick in the window on the outside.
Yeah.
Or no, it was like the way the window cracked, it like went in from the inside frame. So we're just like, look, that's not a us thing. We didn't hit the window or crack the window. It was a bedroom window. And we're like, we do acknowledge that, you know, that this definitely was something that wasn't there when we first started, but this just seems like a wear and tear in the window frame or something. So, and you know, rental insurance or whatever should cover it. And the guy who was renting it to us was pretty understanding with it. He's like, yo, I just want my shit fixed. I'm going to go through Airbnb and communicate with them. And I was like, do it. Airbnb's like, hey, he's a pretty good host. We don't think he's lying, but they wanted like $2,000. And I was like, I thought it would be like a $700 fix, but they're like, we got to take the entire window out and replace it because it's a single pane. I was like, psh. You know what I mean?
It's insurance, right?
I was like insurance. And they're like, no, this is a buyer or the renter needs to cover it. And I was like, nope. I was like, nope. That was my response. And they kind of just left it loose. So
I guess it can't really come after you for that.
Yeah. But like Vrbo apparently is a lot better than Airbnb on, protection stuff. They just cover all of that.
That's the new one, right? I've seen the ads and stuff like that.
Yeah. Rent the house, not the place, not a room. So everyone,
I've never rented just a room anyways. I always rented the place. Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing, but
I mean, that was Airbnb's thing. Rent a room.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. I've done it once.
Really?
It was like a shared apartment kind of thing. So you had your own living space. It's just the corridor you shared in the kitchen.
That's a weird thing that you did.
No, it was just for one night in Italy because we couldn't find accommodation. So we kind of had to do that.
Oh, yeah. It was a bitch for accommodation.
It was Amalfi Coast. And we're like, it was one of the smaller towns. We're like, whatever, we'll do it. The host was nice. So
that was like a humble brag. No accommodation, just Amalfi Coast. Just cruising there.
We couldn't find anything. That was
bad in the summer, bro.
Yeah, it's hard to find places, man. So, terrible. But it was really nice. Like, it was no complaints. So, but it was strange. I wouldn't do it again. Just odd. Yeah, it was an odd experience. It wasn't like bad. It wasn't. We weren't even there, to be honest with you. Right. So,
you're like, we're just coming here to crash at night and hold ourselves.
Yeah, but when we were early on the trip, we had our own place and that was fine. But it was a strange. I wouldn't do it again. I ain't about that life anymore.
No, I was like, this guy's like, I needed my full mansion. Have you seen Airbnbs in friggin' Orlando?
Nah.
Because Orlando's like
the houses and stuff.
Their nice ass houses were pretty cheap. It's like you could do a good, nice 20-person trip to one of those mansions. I was like, of all the ones I've seen, Orlando seems to really have the most of these. But yeah, Vrbo's where it's at right now.
I think with Orlando, there's such an abundance of them because that's the business there. You know,
everyone knows people
around,
are coming
around the Disney area. I think it's like Champions Gate and around that area. I forgot what the other Lake Buena Vista, or what I forgot what the area is around Disney. Like, that's where you'll find, you'll find all these kind of Airbnb, but it's basically suburbs where people are just invested.
Yeah.
And they just put on Airbnb rental and suburbs. No one actually lives there. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I'm not even against that. Apparently, we had some of the condos that were going up in Toronto were becoming like that, where people were just getting the four Airbnbs that they got to the point where they said, look, no short term rentals, because the people buying to actually stay in there hated that. The condo we lived in said no short-term rentals, but every now and then we'd see like a couple with a suitcase on a Friday coming up, or I'm like, this is a rental.
Okay, so Airbnb, like just the condo is more expensive than a hotel. Is that fair enough for me to assume, generally?
I found they were pretty, the entire... I always thought they were about the same.
I just prefer a hotel. like a nice hotel and pay extra, a little bit extra money and just get the service.
The bed service.
Well, sometimes, no, it depends. Sometimes Airbnb is cheaper, but you remember with hotels and Airbnbs, you get a kitchen with your Airbnb usually, right?
Yeah, if that's needed, that's. I'm just saying, like, but for just someone going into a random city for a few nights, I would never get an Airbnb.
Dude, some cities like Vancouver is notoriously expensive for hotels, and Airbnb is just cheap.
I remember getting sick Airbnb in Vancouver. This was back in 2013, 2014. And it was like a really dope Airbnb that was like right at one of the main intersections. Like we were right beside the beach, right beside a bunch of rentals and stuff. And I remember when we got it, it almost felt like the person who was renting it to us wasn't allowed to. Because there were like notices. Secret. Yeah. No, there were like notices on the door that I was like, hey, someone left you this notice. And there was like 2 days of like notices left on the door for the like the homeowner. And they're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And I'm like, even when we were like parking, I saw signs saying you're not allowing guests to park here.
That's like, so funny.
So I'm like, I wonder if we were like one of the, and we were pretty bait about being like rent, like Airbnb guests. We weren't like trying to mask it or like hide it. Or so I was like, I wonder if we were like one of the last people here, but a lot of people just didn't like it. And I can understand why. If you're living in a nice place, you just have like these randoms walking through your halls. I can see that
being. Yeah. Remember that mansion party in Brampton at like 2,000 people? Yeah. Airbnb
here? Yeah, the anniversary was out of recently. Was it Airbnb? Yeah.
I think
was that was... No, but it wasn't finished. It was like still under construction.
But they rented it out off on Airbnb.
Oh. It was literally an unfinished house.
That was a big thing.
I think the people... No, I think they just showed up to that house. I don't think it was something that they rented. I think a bunch of kids just planned a party at this mansion. It was semi-finished.
No, but I think there's man.
No, like in the videos, they're on like the stairs still have wood and
it's they weren't exposed like drywall. Yeah, it wasn't all drywall and stuff. I remember there was actually a thing though. Like a lot of promoters were booking big houses in Brampton for parties. It became like a new story. Yeah, it was a new story that they're like, we got to stop doing it. I feel like that was like the Castlemore just became that, like, yo, just rent out your house these club promoters who will do like these 1 weekend parties.
Yeah, but they mess up the house. That was the thing, right?
And then, I think the Castlemore Residents Association kind of got a little pissed off about it, saying, hey, this isn't, and I kind of get it. It's not nice to have your neighborhood that you think is so lavish and posh to turn into like this party hub. But
look at Shinla turning into the man. Look at the leftist in him. Leftist in him is just coming out.
I mean, I'm
not in my backyard.
Not it's the NIMBYism, right? But it's also funny because they hated the golf course being converted. Castlemore Golf Course, when that got taken over and he sold off half of it.
That was a shit golf course anyways. That needed to be taken away. It's one of the worst golf courses I played.
Was that before the Desis took over or after?
No, I think it was while the Desis took over.
Because I heard there was like
it looked like a half construction site. You'd go there like, what is this?
Right? That was after. That was definitely after. Because I remember all the Castlemore residents were so pissed when that got sold off. And
I mean, if that's the attraction of you coming, I mean, was it Riverstone?
Riverstone
Golf. That was a golf. I think that got shut down. I don't know what it is now. It must just be a walkway or something.
I think it's just
I'd be pissed.
I was kind of mad the city didn't take over Riverstone. I felt like that was something that the city should have just invested as a public course.
Don't blame the city. Blame the taxpayers. No one stood up for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I ain't about to show up. It's
a company. What exactly happened with Riverstone anyways? Why did it get shut down?
The company was just like, yo, we're not turning a profit. We're taking a loss on this stuff.
It was expensive, too, to play there. It wasn't, like, the cheapest course, either.
It was $60, I think, was...
For a nine-hole. Like, that's...
For a nine-hole, yeah. I don't know what the actual rates are for regular courses.
Okay.
It's expensive. They also had, a gym stuff there. The city bought the gym off them and said, we'll use this. They turned
it they should have just run it like Peel Village, man. Peel Village is a great course.
Yeah, so I thought it could have been a nice... It was nice. We used to go to... That was our local course at the time. It was a nice course. I know when residents bought the houses there, it was advertised as you're buying a house on a golf course.
Yeah, right. That's the attraction.
And
I think it's kind of the same thing. Like Glen Abbey had the same issue, right? When Clublink, the owner, took it over, and then they were trying to sell it. They've been trying to sell that land forever, and there's that whole argument where the you know, I guess the the club owners or the members have tried to do lawsuits and this and that. And it's pretty interesting because that's a tract of land that's very attractive to a developer. But it's, if you want to call it a heritage site to some of the residents, like, you know, Glen Abbey is a part of Oakville history. So we'll see how long that lasts. That one's interesting. I can't see it lasting too much longer.
I mean, eventually that...
Yeah, man, that land's gone, like... It's a big tract of land, too. It's nothing small, right?
So. And I don't know, there's a lot of cool things happening in Brampton. Us not having golf courses is one of them. But Lululemon's coming to Brampton.
I need a cousin or somebody to work there. I need that discount.
And you guys are just more... You guys are just excited more yoga pants in Brampton.
Everybody... I mean, it's not going to change anyone actually being able to shop. It's not like it's a shop. It's the actual business office. I'm sure where everyone's going to know one person.
Anybody know where the locality is? Like which area of Brampton?
It's 9 and 10. That's all I know.
Where does that fall again?
Springdale. 9, 10, spring, Springmore.
Yeah.
So that'll be probably around like the airport and Williams area probably.
Or it could be like where the other big
factories probably be north. They'll probably be north somewhere.
Like Dixie Mayfield. Dixie Mayfield.
Yeah, Dixie Mayfield.
Is that Ward's 9 and 10? Is that 9 and 10 still?
Dixie's Brampton North. But I think after Bramley, you end up in 9, 10.
But whatever, man.
Anyway, it's going to be on one of those north corners that are vacant, I'm sure.
More jobs, so.
And it's a big company that's coming from Vancouver. They're moving their head office stuff here, it seems. Or that's
they just opened a massive. They just opened a massive store in Square One. I'm surprised people buy it. Like it's crazy.
They survived this cancel. They had like this, they survived like this cancel culture thing where their CEO almost got canceled. They're like, you may stop making public statements. We're gonna take you off the public eye. And yeah, everyone is just like, good. Now that he's gone, we don't feel guilty about. I don't think anyone really felt that guilty. There's certain products that just withstand it. They were one of them. People like the product too much. A lot of guys love their pants too. It's not just a girl's thing.
And their boxers.
You know, the workwear looks pretty cool, but I mean, it's surprising that it's expensive.
Yeah.
Be good to find out who has a discount working at the warehouse.
Everyone's going to have someone there, man.
Someone. I got a cousin.
I remember growing up, one of the greatest flexes was I have a Best Buy guy.
Best Buy guy.
Yeah.
Or Future Shop guy. So Future Shop. Let's throw Future Shop in there.
I feel like, hey, Randy, you had that.
I was a guy.
You were getting the text messages, yo, can you look this up for me? Let me know how much it is. And you'd be like, yo, it's this much.
And yeah, then, we all knew someone. Best Buy, Future Shop. Yeah.
I thought it was the greatest plug ever because they were like the most useful. Like, yeah, I want to buy this.
Especially TVs. TVs was the big one. You needed to have a lot
of markups, yeah. TVs, my cables were like $50-$60 and I cost it like two.
Monster cables.
I remember that.
Yeah, having a connect. So I'm sure everyone's gonna have a Lululemon connect coming on. But yeah, Brampton doing big things.
The big thing with Brampton is, yo, are we all gonna separate from Saga or what?
Yeah, that's the big one, man. That's Saga's pushing. Saga does not want to be part of
Saga's kind of spoiled here, don't you think? Mrs. Saga's, they loved it when they were growing and they needed that shared tax.
We've all hated Mississauga collectively at some point. So
I'm not even trying to hate on Mississauga. I like enjoy Square One. I enjoy that entire thing. But they literally had us paying for their development up until
that's the matter at hand, right? It's Mississauga saying, well, we're losing about, I think, 80 million or 100 million or whatever it is a year by providing certain infrastructure and services, wherein Brampton and Patrick Brown are arguing the other way around, saying, well, we've paid an X amount to help you build your infrastructure over the course of many years and we should be paid back. And so that's the argument now. If they leave, you know, which looks likely because Premier Ford just announced publicly today that he believes in an independent Mississauga. So, you know, when the Dougler says something, it's probably going to happen. Right. So, you know, he's obviously already gone through that. So my question is, I mean, Mississauga will be fine in some regard, but what happens to Brampton? How much is the funding vital to us? Does Caledon then say, well, we don't want to be part of Brampton anymore?
No, Caledon still needs funding. They're in the same, but they're in more of the boat than we are. More they're just
I don't think they need the services as much.
They're growing. They have that huge green belt, right? But other than that, people are moving there. They do need services.
Which the property taxes are will pay for. I mean, what in terms of infrastructure, what does Caledon really need at this point?
I actually saw this crazy stat that Caledon is one of the wealthiest cities in Canada. It's like most wealthiest people have homes in Caledon.
Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I mean, that makes sense, yeah.
Who was it? What's that singer? Elton John has a property in Caledon.
What, really?
Yeah.
Really? He probably skews his numbers on his own.
Elton John. Weston had they have like a family estate in Caledon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Eaton Mansion used to be is in Caledon. I mean, there's been a lot of prominent families, but
I wonder if they're putting their stuff for sale now that they see they're moving in.
Yeah, probably. But I mean, does it screw Brampton? This that's my question to you guys. Is Brampton in trouble?
I mean, maybe at a certain point, Brampton is gonna probably want to be independent as well. We're probably going to hit that in like another 5, 6, 7 years. We're hitting like, oh, okay, you know, we're close to a million now. We should probably be separate. We're self-sufficient. We don't have that growth that Mississauga does and that kind of development.
But we have big companies here, right? Like Microsoft is right. Is Microsoft Brampton or Mississauga? Because it's right at that border.
Saga.
How about Loblaws?
Loblaws Brampton.
Okay, so we got the Loblaws head office. Lululemon coming here. We have a bunch of Amazon warehouses.
That Mississauga has.
The best is what Ford says, and I quote, in regards to what's happening. Brampton is not going to get shafted by Mississauga or anyone else.
He knows what's coming.
The Dougler.
Did you say shafted?
It's a shafted.
Yo, does Mississauga have scooters?
Yeah, I don't know about the scooter thing, but you know, like
I feel like that's a world class city.
But here's what I think with the whole loss of funds. Essentially, do property taxes go up? Probably, right? We'll have to. Do they have to look at these basement apartments now and actually start making them
pay their share?
Come up with some kind of tax code to really like get some revenue out of it, because it's going to get to a point where the city can't afford to run. You're gonna have no money, right? So it'll be, I think it's gonna be interesting. If Brampton's on its own, it's not requiring listening to, well, does the school system change? I guess that would change too, right?
Oh. What about policing? Is it like Brampton
that would change as well?
So is it really gonna be Mississauga getting the city of Mississauga having its own everything, or is it gonna be, because I remember there was also talk earlier about
amalgamation,
whatever, man.
I mean, Vaughan and other cities, it's York region, right? York so region, that police, yeah. So maybe that's what they're thinking. I'm not sure personally how the funding works regionally, but I would assume Mississauga, if they want to be independent, means independent everything.
Yeah, like they want out of the services.
What else are shared services?
Police, fire,
ambulance, schools, and schools. Disposal.
Yeah, waste disposal.
Yeah.
So he did make that announcement in front of a firehouse, I think.
But it'd be interesting.
At a Mississauga firefighter training facility.
Because I remember originally when they were talking about amalgamation,
yes.
That they were talking about could Brown be Bonnie Crombie as the mayor of Peel? And I thought that's an interesting fight 1v1, because they're both popular within the regions.
I don't think Mississauga would want to join Brampton. Do you think so? I think Brampton would be up for joining Mississauga in a city. They're like, yeah, sure. We'll come with you guys.
I mean, we've been carrying you this far, but Mississauga clearly doesn't want to be associated with us. But I don't know. I thought it would be an interesting political battle, Brown versus Crombie.
Yeah, I remember, well, when we were younger, like, I don't know if you guys remember this, but there was a separation between Jacuzzi and Brampton. There was it was like kind of different.
Bramley and Brampton.
Or Bramley, sorry, you're right. Bramley and Brampton. It was okay. Very different. To the point where, like, I remember as kids, like, there's a huge rivalry in our soccer teams. Like,
within
a separate city, F you guys, we're different.
Well, we grew up in Malton. Mississauga didn't even want us.
I feel like Mississauga and Malton have the exact same thing that Bramley.
Yeah, they never labeled villages
within the city.
Village. You're the village. You never even labeled us Mississauga. That was the best. Yeah. No one growing up in Malton ever says I grew up in Mississauga.
I feel like to Malton's credit, Malton's always kind of kept its independence. Like they've never really like people from Malton don't say I'm in Mississauga. They say I'm Malton.
Maybe that's always been the problem.
They can be Brampton when they want to be. They can be Mississauga when they want to be. Depends on the conversation.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. But it's kind of like
I don't want Brampton. I don't want thing leaving. But whatever. We got scooters, man. Have you guys seen these things?
I've seen some locked up already. So that's been hilarious.
I need someone to explain this to me because
up on a post with a bike lock.
No, that's how they are.
I see them all over my neighborhood. Last night, I saw three dudes roll out to Pizza Depot on one scooter, and my parents are just dying laughing. Like, what? This is like some Ben shit, right? They're dying in the backseat. And
hold on, I remember when
the one guy's riding.
Oh, is like hugging,
right? So one's hugging the driver, the other one's hugging the other middle passenger, and they're all like all rolling along in the scooty.
Proper sandwich.
Yeah.
You could probably fit another fourth guy if you got him to like kneel down underneath right at the front where the bar is.
Remember was it when you doubled as a kid, double riding when the kid sat on the handlebars? That's gonna happen as well.
You can just leave these anywhere and someone else can pick it up.
Yeah. So I don't know. I haven't used them in Brampton. I've used them in like other cities. Like we did them in Austin and we did them in San Francisco. And South Park actually has a hilarious episode about when they were taking over like American cities. But yeah, you use the app. I don't know who's running the Brampton ones, but there are two big companies, Bird and Ride. Were the big ones in America, I remember. You open the app, you say, I want a scooter. There's a little barcode on it. You scan it. It tells you the code to unlock it if there's a lock on it. You unlock it. It starts up remotely once your payment goes through. And it just goes. And then you get paid by time and kilometers.
And how do they charge?
Your credit card through the app.
No. Like the power. Oh.
Once it's done, they have like trucks that come up at night that find the ones that need battery charging. They pick them up, put them on charge, replace them with other ones, and they kind of like redisperse them. So they all have like GPSs on them and stuff. So there's a company that maintains them.
Mm.
So if like someone leaves one in a ditch or something, someone will come in and pick it up. And
don't you need to wear a helmet?
They had helmets on them, but I don't think it's mandatory.
No, but if you ride like an e-bike or something like that here, isn't there a rule?
I think it's recommended, not
like in Chicago, you could not take them on sidewalks. You had to stay on the road.
Yeah, so I don't think that rule here because I see everyone on sidewalks with them.
Sidewalks, yeah.
And I don't think anyone's trying to take them on the road.
We got one guy patrolling basements now. You want to see me?
Yo, I want to know who the one guy is who's taking the basement roll on. That would be a great interview.
Whose role is it to like rent the scooter? But yeah, I see people. They're actually convenient for a lot of people because they're able to get like groceries, even like the little bag of groceries instead of doing that 4 kilometer walk. Now,
how much does it cost? Because I mean, those scooters aren't that expensive now. You can get one for like $300.
I remember. So I don't know. I haven't used it here, but when we did it in Austin, I used one for like an hour, and we were just doing them around the core. I don't know how many kilometers we picked up on them, but it cost me like $9. For that hour. So
now students are like, I've seen students in my neighborhood and people complain about it, how they just take them into their house and just
hold on to them. They're calling dibs.
Well, yeah.
I mean, at some point someone's going to come knocking saying, hey, we're here for that scooter. Cause they're fully GPS and everything.
Right.
And I know you can buy electric scooters.
But, but remember, these are the same people that crash a car and then all run four different ways leaving the car. It's like, well, you know, there's a license plate on the car.
But buying an electric scooter, I remember looking it up once. It was like $1,300 for like a decent one.
Yeah, I mean, but they're getting cheaper is what I'm saying. Like someone could get one for like $500. I've seen them on $500 or whatnot. I don't know how much the range is, obviously. That's probably the battery pack that dictates that price.
Maybe I should have gotten one of those and not a skateboard.
Yeah. Your legs would have been happy.
until I freaking fall off one of those. But yeah, there
you go. I took it one. I was on like one of the roads in Chicago. I was like, uh-oh. It's pretty hairy if there's lots of traffic or lots of cars going at speed. And, you know, I wouldn't imagine driving in Brampton's like. I won't take a bike on the road. scooter.
I remember Montreal's lakefront had them, and people hated them because people would just leave them everywhere, and they would just litter it everywhere, and they're like, it ruins the city's beauty.
I think you should have kind of, when you kind of like the bikes, you know, you have the lift bikes all over. When I was in certain cities in the U.S., you can rent a bike, and I think they have in Toronto, don't they?
Bike rental.
So it should be like that. You need to bring it back to that certain place. A rack, that's the word.
You charge until you bring it to that specific rack in the area.
I don't know why the scooters haven't done that. That's really strange.
I mean, I think with them, they're just like, yeah, it works. That you could just leave it everywhere, and then we have this one guy that goes around cleaning them up and picking them up.
Is the city paying for this?
So the one company that I looked into, they paid the city to be in their market. They just asked that the laws be adjusted.
The Brampton ones, because they're like, you got the politicians posing with it, right?
I mean, politicians are going to take credit for everything. They're going to be wearing Lululemon pants when Lululemon opens up here. You know what I mean?
Door knocking in tights.
They're always looking for, like, what did we do for the city? We did the scooters. Yeah. But I remember South Park was just ripping on the scooter stuff when it was big there. This was like several years ago. So it's nice that Brampton's a world-class city, that we have scooters, though.
Is it? It's world-class.
Yeah, it's world-class. Look, man,
I couldn't decide on an LRT, and you're talking about
world-class city. We have some of the most renowned singers coming from here, some of the most renowned athletes.
We should amalgamate.
Brampton's at the top right now. You guys are sleeping on Brampton.
And they said they're exploring the LRT again, aren't they? Something like that in the news.
If we're getting funding for it, let's just do it.
Yeah, bring the vote back.
Vote back. Bring it back. Talk about running it back.
I think it says here that they're deciding on a tunnel option over surface alignment for Main Street. Funding committed.
Always the best. No funding. That's never happening. Nothing. We may as well open a racetrack.
Yeah.
I'm going to quickly I don't know how to pivot to this, but you guys hear about the coronation of Prince Charles?
Who didn't hear about? Who did you hear about it?
I don't know, man. Some of us were in Mexico and shit.
The best were the memes. Where they put like the wedding music to it. So good.
Oh, man. That was so funny.
So good.
has the monarchy kind of run its course?
I mean, to be fair, you had a queen. When did she get coronated? 1960 or 50? When was her coronation?
The 50s? Queen?
No, pre-World War, man.
Like 1930.
It was right after.
So you have generations of people that she's been kind of the same. The monarchy is her, you know, so it's not, she represented everything. So I think her leaving, now they got to deal with this new guy. So now the question really becomes, you know, is it dead or not? It was probably dead even with her, but she's been around for so long.
Used to her being on her money.
Yeah. It's just part of your kind of life, right? But him, I don't know.
More and more Commonwealth countries have like a resistance to this whole monarchy concept. Even now, like all these fun polls online are showing Canadians not really down with the monarchy being the figurehead of our political system and legal system. I mean, I kind of think it's kind of cool in the sense that it makes you a little different, because it actually doesn't have any impact on my life whatsoever. I'm not one of those people that follow the monarchy, understand its politics. The show was kind of cool. The Netflix show, what's it called?
The Crown.
I watched a few seasons. It was actually pretty cool. It's a solid filler show when, like, in between series that you really want to watch. It's a great show for that.
But how does it compare to Queen Charlotte?
Ooh.
What the hell? Why do you guys always give me these blank stares when I give you a good TV show? Queen Charlotte, the Bridgerton.
Just ignore him.
All right, fine.
This is one that you just ignore him and keep talking. Keep going.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but if you say I should watch it, I'll check it out.
I'm surprised your wife hasn't made you watch it or is binging it. It's like this super popular Netflix chick flick.
All your TV recommendations lately have been like the movies like or shows that your wife's supposed to recommend. And you
I'm
gonna be honest, my wife controls the remote in the house. I barely get a chance to pick TV.
Yeah,
my TV shows are Ted Lasso, and even then I gotta wait for everyone to go to sleep.
It's a great show. I mean the monarchy and now I think Kush was I just brought it up. It was 1952 or something like that.
Do you give a shit if we have a fair gray head?
No, I don't think, let's.
It makes me less American. It makes me less American. And I'm okay.
Let's just say aside from Canada, I mean, the one where it's going to have the biggest ramifications is in their own home country, right? So they are in a situation now where they've left the EU. Scotland is, you know, possible independence, right? So that whole monarchy, Great Britain, it's if they start losing pieces, what does it really mean? You know, it doesn't mean anything. So that's the first one. Canada, yeah, they're just figureheads, but do people even notice?
How much money goes to the Attorney General? I mean, that was the biggest scandal for the longest time. Is why do we even have an Attorney General that where so much tax money is going to lavish up and keep them in this nice house. What was their house renovation? Was like 10 mil?
You mean Governor General, man.
Governor General.
Whatever, man. Governor General.
Governor General is, yes, they are the kind of speaking head for the monarchy in Canada.
They get a lot of money. Remember, there was a huge scandal about how much the last Governor General was spending. Was insane. And it was like, what the hell are they even doing?
Yeah, but there's lots of things done in heads of state or whatever you want to call it, where money's wasted, and you'd be like, oh, that's a waste of money.
Yeah. I mean, which I think is what it is. Something you were talking about,
there's traditions, there's things that you carry on. The problem is a lot of us don't identify with those traditions, and a lot of Canadians that are being pulled maybe are, you know, kids of immigrants or immigrants themselves. They have no link, right? But if you, you know, ask, what did your old boy Stephen Harper say? Old stock Canadians? Yeah, old stock Canadians. I think there'll be a much more alignment with tradition and what they deem to be Canadian.
Old stock Canadians can be twisted to whichever way suits them. Because it could be like, why are we paying this?
Here's a defense. Here's a defense right away.
I know in the UK, there's a whole thing of like the people in the UK right now are struggling to make ends meet. It's probably one of the worst times in UK generally with just the cost of living being so high. And meanwhile, you have this like, lavish ceremony where they're like putting gold crowns and.
Well, they're his crowns. Like, it's not new money. It's money that's always been there.
But it's just flaunting
in his closet.
He's just doing his wealth. You're having one of the greatest disparity moments. I mean, in Canada, yeah, in the US,
attacking billionaires and shit like that too, right? For having money, yeah.
Which country? Name a country that doesn't have that kind of. You know, in America, there is no monarchy, but there's celebrity. Yeah. And they're addicted to celebrity. So celebrity kind of takes the place of monarchy. Which country doesn't have that?
I don't know, man. I don't travel near as much as you.
I'm just saying publicly. If you look at countries, there's always some kind of, you know.
Hate for someone in society at the top.
Yeah, or someone wasting and you're like, oh, that doesn't, you know, resonate with the general public at the moment. And they're out of touch, you know, let them eat cake kind of scenario. They're irrelevant to me, like Ranjit said. It doesn't do nothing to my life, so I don't look at it that way. But I would be in favor of a little bit more Canadian-centric traditions and moving away from the monarchy, maybe involving some of our own history and making that more relevant.
So I saw a big movement on, Twitter. What does a movement on Twitter even count for? Because Twitter's not a real place. But people were saying we should maybe ditch trying to put monarchy, like his face on any money, because they're talking about redoing a bunch of money. Like, why don't we just stick with the animals that we already do in the colors? Why do we even need the monarch's face on it? Just
prominent Canadians. I'm okay with that. I mean, the weird one is like the new passport they proposed kind of took everything out of it. that's even stranger one, right? Like taking Terry Fox out is a strange one. So I don't know how they're going to defend that. But yeah, put Terry Fox on somebody. Yeah, there's Ian Fleming. There's a bunch of Canadians that I think it's Ian Fleming. Penicillin?
Yeah. What about Gretzky?
Hockey. That's a hard one.
I feel like Gretzky's Canadian royalty when you talk about celebrity and.
I mean, the CBC had that show a few years ago. The greatest Canadian ever. And they would do like a voting system, and I think Tommy Douglas was a big one. You know, the creator of Universal Healthcare.
And if you gotta make an argument about most famous Canadian athlete, I think it has to be GSP.
Can you imagine?
Like GSP on the $20 bill. Just a guy with gloves.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's hockey history, whatever it is. But yeah, I think that's more palatable than the monarchy on your bill. I mean, I don't want to see Charles on my bill because it's like, it's kind of a joke.
I feel like this is a question we need to ask Google Bard. Who would be the number one?
Just keep it the queen. Would you oppose to the queen still on the
bill? All right, now that you rejected my segue, let's try this again. Maybe. That was maybe. That was a hard rejection. Holy shit.
Look at those shit shows. That was pretty shit.
Have you guys used any of these AI tools yet?
I tested a ChatGPT when it was like that first night of everybody going nuts about it.
That's pretty fun. Yeah,
it was a fun night. I haven't touched it since. Although I need some content these days, so I'll probably be back on any one of them that you recommend.
What about you, Rob? I mean, I think with ChatGPT, they started a subscription now.
I haven't really used it in terms of utilizing it in my life.
You're not following these Twitter threads on the top 20 useful ChatGPT prompts that you need to instill in your life right now?
No. Trying to roll back from that. But I'm sure it's going to play a part in my industry and my life and the way we do things eventually. But just, I know a lot of, journalists, lawyers, whatever, you know, people working with words are using it to formulate a lot of structure or sentences or ideas. And I saw movie scripts at one point coming out of it. It was pretty cool. Right. So, I mean, I'm sure there's many uses of it if you're in that kind of an industry. But in terms of my industry, it will get there. I just don't know what that looks like at this point.
I mean, AI is making its way through a lot of different things.
And it will. I mean, it makes sense, right? It speeds up things and it can analyze it for you. You know, my fear is not for me. It's for coding. I mean, I'm surely that's what, you know, is your industry a bit scared of it in terms of the computer science industry and IT industry? Should they be scared of it?
Engineers are so dumb, and I'm going to tell you why, because they see something like this, like, awesome, this is going to simplify my life so much.
Yeah.
And then there was this one meme going around where they're like, I just generated this code from ChatGPT, and someone's like, and the chat bot was like, I just copied this code from something somewhere else, and the engineer's like, ha ha ha, so do I. Like, that's one of the big jokes in programming is programmers spend a lot of their time just copying and pasting the right bits of code. Yeah. They're not really inventing code.
But then that makes a case for AI. If the code's already out there and you're just basically taking fragments and joining them together to create a new code, then why can't AI do that? And it's kind of rendered you useless in that scenario, hasn't it?
And like Microsoft, they own this code repository, one of the biggest code repositories in the world called GitHub, which is where a lot of coders, you know, store their code. To be shared and easily accessible. And they kind of came under some sort of controversy for a little bit because people realized that it was analyzing all the code that was in there and it auto recommends code. So it's like, this is what you typed. It's like, this is what you're probably typing next. Here's some variables. And it was like doing AI generated code. And some programmers were able to like identify snippets of their code that it was mimicking.
Wow.
And then they're like, well, hold on, we didn't sign up for you to analyze our code and make other people accessible to like our proprietary secrets. But with engineering generally, the secret sauce isn't so much in the code. It's more in the business logic of how that code's being used. I don't know.
But it definitely will have an impact on the industry to some degree. For sure.
Everything does. Like I can go on ChatGPT and say, hey, create me a website and it'll give a functioning website for the most part. If I know enough to edit it or tweak it, I can do that on my own. But it does a big chunk. I remember typing generate a first person shooter game using Unreal Engine. It gave me like a nice little sample block. So it gives you starter code. It gives you a nice little bones to start moving on.
I think there are jobs that are at risk. I mean, I guess in your field, Ranjit, someone who's responsible for bringing information together, researching, if this thing can just go through everything and extrapolate tons of data and the speed that it does, that's pretty scary for a lot of careers out there. I mean, if that's your job, right? So
yeah, it'll definitely cut down on the amount of lawyers needed for research and building cases and whatnot. It's helped me with my research already. But still, like, we're kind of safe, at least if you're not on the transactional end, like the art of actually having to formulate a position and make an argument. Until there's a robot that can go to court and make...
I think that's what it is. It's if you're in a position where you actually make a decision, like the buck stops with you, if you can say that term, you're kind of safe, you know? There has to be some oversight in every kind of career, job, profession. There's someone always, an example would be a water treatment plant. Even though we know this thing could probably run itself, there should always be there to kind of have oversight of it, right? So there's always going to be human involved. Same thing with autopilot and airplanes is another example, right? But
I've been bombarded with like a lot of quizzes or surveys, not quizzes, surveys, from these legal research tools and companies, Thomson Reuters one being one of the bigger ones, all about like, are you nervous about using AI for research? Like, fuck no, like I'll do it. It'll save me a lot of time and headache.
Especially if you're like searching for president or like, what's the clause here called? Or it's just like,
it can help with that. Like I'm pretty good with what I have and what I know. If there's some like particular clause, like it's pretty easy to search what it is and get that information quickly. ChatGPT doesn't help me there, but like if I have a case where I know something's wrong, like the legal principles tell me that what's happened to this person is wrong, but I just can't find the right case or exactly, you know, how to make what the legal test is for it. You know, a ChatGPT or AI can save me hours of research and find me the correct test and the correct legal cases and even give me a layout of the law by giving me a write out of like how these cases have been weighed and give me a shoot out a memo, right? Within like 10 minutes or 5 minutes or 2 minutes or a second even. Whereas it would take, you know, how big trials are run is you prepare for trial, you have to draft, a memo or a facta for a judge to read the law, the relevant law. And you have lawyers like juniors drafting the shit. I'll give it to a partner who has to put it all together and make it all flow and actually, you know, argue it. That takes out like 5-6 juniors and significantly cuts down bills, right? So the manpower needed to do things can be significantly less now, and bigger firms can run more leaner if this technology gets developed, and that's just a legal industry.
And I feel like it's coming now to the point where it's just an upgrade from our previous thing, which was just asking Google. You search Google and people who got really good at searching things on Google were able to get the information faster. And now it's kind of like simplified that even. So people learning to write the correct ChatGPT prompt can get information a lot faster. I've been using this thing called Noster, and someone created an AI bot for that. And it's really quick at giving responses. So instead of even having to Google anything, if I'm like opening up like a kind of a Twitter interface and I'm just saying, hey, @AI, what's this mean? Or, hey, can you give me this recipe quick? And it's like spits it back at you. I just find like that to be an upgrade from the previous search engine. You know, before I'd be like searching something on Google, having to parse a few links to find the correct information. Now it's kind of not even sending me to websites. It's like, here's what you're looking for. And one of the fears is people aren't validating what AI is telling you, because AI is still learning from false information, right? So it's kind of like, is what you're getting back from AI actually correct? You need to have like some sort of level of being able to discern that information. So as a coder, I can look at the code and be like, yeah, this doesn't work, but I can debug this bit. Thank you for the bones. As a lawyer, you could be like, yeah, that's not correct, but at least this is somewhat something I can use.
It gives you framework, right? It cuts out 7 steps. And if those 7 steps are someone's responsibility, that's what I'm saying, right? It's going to cut out people.
And it's going to help doctors, because they're going to be able to do diagnoses and like stuff where it's going to help them give ideas.
I think it's twofold. I mean, if it's accurate and does it, you're going to come up with certain programs or screeners and all types that you'll be able to come get outcomes very quickly, and it will kind of it'll speed up everything. I don't know the full effect on mine. It'll be an imaging thing, you know, being able to analyze images and how that affects the careers. That'll be a hard one. It depends if it goes into more of a, you know, if regulatory bodies decide that, you know, well, this is the pathway we're going to take, and anyone can set up an AI screener for health, and that's deemed as worthy as a gold standard, if you will, then yeah, the whole healthcare field's in trouble. But if the end decision still, you know, it has to be done someone with a license, then AI, yes, I agree, will just be a tool, you know.
I feel like
that
so
will
long
help
as,
us speed up.
I feel like so long as there's liability involved, there's going to be a human person who has to sign off on it, because right? One thing that's interesting about AI, though, is where the hell did this come from? 6 months ago, we didn't have this. And all of a sudden, now we have, like, it's so well public.
I mean, hasn't it been used? Like, it's been being tested for years.
But now, we have a taste of it.
I'm sure these companies have been used it. These companies have been using it already. There's no way Google just came out with this.
No, it wasn't something they just came up with it.
Yeah, they've probably been using it all those, you know, when people say they're listening to our phone, that's probably AI anyways. It's probably analyzing how to analyze all those responses and inputs so quickly. Right.
Well, I know one of the big ones was just voice recognition, like trying to understand what we're saying. Cause I don't know if you guys remember the old Motorola phones where you'd have to like say something and it would barely understand you. But now it's like so many, they understand accents, they understand what you possibly could be saying based on your region.
But to take that information, analyze it, store it into something, but then quickly somehow find a connection that, you know, advertisement or some kind of interest that's extrapolated from that bit of information, put it all together, send it to another app, and done with a matter of what, seconds? Something along the lines was being used for sure. I mean, they've probably had this in the works, and I'm not surprised because now they're just giving it for free. You know, it's just free for everybody. So
I think the big thing that's, oh, sorry, go ahead, Ranji.
Well, even just going further, expanding on that point, a couple of weeks back, there was like this kerfuffle or all over Twitter about the godfather of AI, like the Google head of AI, quitting because he's scared of, you know, AI and stuff like that. Like if you actually read what he says, he's just like, yo, look, like I made this. Yeah, I'm one of the probably three founding fathers of this technology, but there needs to be regulation for it, right? Otherwise it can be used improperly. So yeah, like, you know, he quit because he wants to be on the regulation side and start working on that because he understands technology and needs to be regulated.
He's basically trying to stop the Terminator.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Skynet is coming. Skynet's coming.
Well, I remember IBM Watson was like one of the big ones that you kind of came public, but it's still in infancy. I think the real big explosion that recently happened was the way the language models were able to process language and interpret and respond in language that we understand.
Right.
I think that's where it became more than just a data analysis tool versus this thing is speaking to me.
It's giving me active outputs. Yeah, exactly. Right. Input output. Right. Yeah.
But as much as I'm a fan of AI and I love like using like the image generation stuff, I think that's always fun and cool. The one that really irks me and the place where I think AI is not dangerous, but it's borderline dangerous, low-key, but not dangerous in the sense that it's going to attack us, but in so much that it stunts us as humans, is how much it keeps us connected to the past. So I saw this one guy on TikTok and Instagram who's doing a lot of, if Sidhu sang this song or if Sidhu did that song, and they're like doing it in Sidhu's voice, and it was like, oh, this would have been an awesome song by Sidhu, can you redo it? And then you're like, how much is this tethering us to people who are gone and like we're unable to move on? And then I'm like, what if people are like capturing people's voices of their past relatives, and they're like, well, now I can redo this thing as my, you know, dead grandfather.
I mean,
or
as long as you As long as you know it's not real. I mean, when you start to blur that line, that's the one that's scary. Like,
so
you know,
that's where some people are going.
Some of the music that's been put out, that's like an AI generated music with AI voices. That's pretty scary because you're like, what's authentic anymore?
And but it's rights to AI music, right?
Exactly. Yeah, it was crazy. But I mean, if it's someone you know that's gone, and you know it's gone, like, you know, that person's gone, like, you know, the Tupac hologram, that doesn't bother me, right?
I mean, like, let's say that. But like, yeah, whatever, it gets extrapolated on and built on, and you're like, you know what, man? I feel like at some point we need to stop trying to immortalize our existence and accept, like, whatever Tupac created in the past, that's Tupac's. Whatever Sidhu created in the past, we should just celebrate his.
I mean, but that's work, but that's right? The remix. But that's the remix culture, right? That's been in music. That's been going on for.
Remixes are different though, because you're still using something they themselves created and retuning it and remixing it. Here, you're taking their voice. Adding new
you're
words.
Just like, I get what you're saying. You're just basically making all new
stuff that they didn't create.
Content.
Right?
Yeah, that's not right. Yeah, fair enough. I agree with that.
Even if, and I know some estates might be like, well, we can continue to make money off this. Let's do it. Right? It's like, what, you're going to use my grandfather's voice and stuff? Fine by us. We don't have a relationship with him or whatever. But there's something scary about us being so tethered to our past and not letting that go, and this making that accessible. There was
I don't care about, it's not the past stuff, it's just the ability to do it, and forget past people, how about people in the present? And you can take someone's voice and take someone's persona and literally that's like create scary. A whole, like, that's more scary to me. And before it was a big thing, but now with AI and you can do it in seconds, that's a bit scary. Like the lines being blurred, and this is just the start of it. What if these videos or news channels, and that's all AI generated at one point? Like, what does that do to a population, right? So it's the power. And then, like that guy said, there has to be regulation. So and also, we'll see what comes out.
You guys probably saw this one where people were taking old pictures and they were able to reanimate them. And it looked like that person was smiling at you. And everyone was like, oh my God. And like, they were very like templated, like the same look, everyone's thing. But I could literally just, I don't know. Maybe for me, one of the big scares is we're always able to bring life back to things that have passed or people who have passed. And for me, there should be a level of that's in the past. We need to keep moving on as a society. We can't just keep looking back. And I think, I don't know if you guys watched the Harry Potter movies, but there was that one mirror that was in Hogwarts and Harry's looking at it and he's seeing his parents holding him and hugging him as if they were still there in the present. And Dumbledore was like, listen, this mirror is dangerous because people have spent their entire lives just stuck looking at it and wasting away. For me, AI is that mirror that has that potential. And I feel like some people are using it that way to just.
Well, look, we already have like videotapes and stuff like that, right? Of our past loved ones. Yeah, exactly. And people rewatch those over again when they miss that person who's gone.
And I think that's fine. I think that's different.
Like
taking that video and watching the past memory is one thing. Recreating that as a present memory, I think that's where I'm kind of like.
You know what I'm thinking? What's that movie by Tom Cruise, Minority Report, where he would like get doped up and watch those videos of his kid?
It was Sonia.
Over again? Yeah. And just be lost. I mean, look, mental health, right? You can abuse yourself with that kind of trauma, either by watching old VHS cassettes, whatever, or by, you know, coming up with some AI image video of a loved one talking to you. The base thing is still the same, AI, mental health or coping mechanisms that aren't strong, right? So it is what it is. It's just another modern tool to treat an old, ancient human problem that we've always had.
Fair enough. I personally think we're on track. Do you guys watch Wally?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's gone.
I'm still here. You guys ever watch Wall-E?
Yeah, where the future was where a bunch of guys, humanity became so grotesque.
Just fat, just sitting on like these AI monitors where it's just virtual reality. And you want to play this? You want to play? And they don't do anything. They just live in a whole different world. That's my fear. You know, it's getting already pretty bad with gaming. If you don't got nothing to do in the real world, and they can, you know, these realities get blur, more immense and cool, and you don't know what's real anymore. It's pretty. We'll see, man. It's not. I don't think in our lifetime. I'm not worried about our lifetime, but yeah, 50 years maybe. Yeah, it'll be interesting. It's like crazy what it's going to be like, right? But The question is that when you don't know what's real, that's what's scary. And things like news and just information and what you study, and no one's even even kids now, when they're trying to study or write essays or math problems, they're just using this AI stuff. So no one's actually learning.
That can actually like
detect. Score. Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So
there's some schools have something they can detect if the essay or whatever been by AI.
It's just like the Fermi, sure. They have like algorithms to determine whether or not it's AI. But I was watching some people figuring out ways to break it, because they say the thing that AI does that's predictable is the randomness between words and phrases is very low. Whereas humans have a lot more randomness between things. But my biggest thing is AI, now people are, I saw this one service where they're like, train AI on your own writing. So it knows how to write things in your voice.
It will get there.
It is there. You could like literally feed AI based on your work, and it'll try to generate more of an approximation of your voice.
Like my question is like basic math and science in jeopardy. Like in schools, is it in jeopardy? Because like it's just like math for sure. Calculators.
Come on.
I mean, calculators have been questioned for math. You still needed to know how to do that without when everything got disconnected, right? How good is AI when the teacher says write an essay without a computer handy? You have 2 hours. Write these points, right? These are still skills that they're able to test for without the need. Essays in general, I think, were pretty generic. We always had Cole's notes. We always had ways to cheat it. People are just going to be asking AI, hey, tell me what the main plot of this thing was. All of a sudden, everyone in the class had the exact same plot points when they handed in. I don't know. I think
you know what they're going to go back to. It's like when I was in the UK and I was doing my exams, they were written by hand.
Pen and paper.
Everything. It was a full pen and paper paragraph. You write out every little word. You write it out.
I remember
that's when the best. High school. That's you the best way. Best
books and you write them out.
Yeah. Best way, man. Best.
I remember high school when we had to do like English exams. A lot of the times they give us the question was like, here, write this based on this thing. And if you were clever enough, you'd know exactly what those questions were based on someone else's class or past exams. And I had friends who would literally write out their essays the day before on similar paper, hide the paper in their like jacket, come into the exam and like swap it out if they got the exact same question. So back to the old school.
There's lots of flexes. Lots of people we know pulled a lot of flexes.
Look, man, you could blame the students for using AI. I'm sure teachers are using AI too for come up with a curriculum.
Yeah.
For
yeah, fair enough.
Hey, fair enough. Review these essays. Which one was written by AI? Which one is copied by so-and-so? Find the similarities between these essays. I'm sure it works on all sides, but...
Yeah.
It's the one where people keep the dead alive or steal content that bothered me. Like, the Sid one really bugged me for some reason. It's kind of like his... You know, you're cashing in and making content on a guy who didn't do the stuff, and eventually it'll catch up where you can't, or they'll be able to sue you for it, but... I don't know.
It'll be crazy when like AI can do like movies and you don't need actors.
Well, that's like, one of the...
Like, that's crazy, right? Like, it doesn't even need actors. It can just computer generate everything.
So have you guys been keeping up with the writer's strike at all?
Yeah.
No.
That's one of the things. That's actually one of the striking things as studios started putting clauses into contracts where they wanted to be able to use a writer's work after they left via AI.
Oh, wow.
And actors, same way, they're getting clauses in their contracts saying we're allowed to use your appearance in the future is that the right word, Ranji? Perpetuity.
Perpetuity.
Moving forward to do like promotions or whatever type of reworks without.
The permission is not right, but they use it in Star Wars a bunch of times where they kind of did that. You know, they've pretty much mastered it now after a few reiterations of it. Where they're, you know, using like what they did for, yeah, I guess, Princess Leia, Luke Skywalker. It's getting better and better every kind of time they generate it. But I'm just talking about full AI movie. Like, let's say there's just like AI just makes up what a Hollywood actor should look like and has a script and. What's that whole industry? Like, that whole industry is like if it can do it. Once again, it's that reality thing, right? Like, what's reality? So,
well, someone made one where they kind of did an AI video of a beer commercial or a pizza commercial. And it was very nightmarish. because it's still in its like infancy, right? It was very like off, but it's getting there. It'll be there maybe in a year, 2 years, I think, depending on the pace of going.
But that time span is scary, right? It's like, oh, it's just a year or two, and you can have this AI generated beer commercial. Like, that's pretty.
But like, we're getting there. Right? I think AI can generate a script. Yeah. AI can write a song for you. You can tell it to do it in a voice. Now it can.
Think about AI. Little things. You want to do an interview? Get through AI first. HR department's gone. You don't pass the AI interview. There's no point now. AI can do thousands of interviews all at the same time and weed out everybody. Now you don't have to person going through resumes or any algorithms.
That's and it's done. Already AI's done a psych analysis on you while you're doing it because it's pushing that through.
Like just to name an industry, man. If they really wanted to do it and push, there's creative ways of, you know. We'll see.
Final two notes. First, what the hell is Morant doing?
Jawick. Jawick. Bundle of the week. He is the bundle of the week.
Such a fumble. So one thing that I saw that was an interesting debate is he's getting criticized for, you know, brandishing a gun. But
second time.
They're like, second time. Yo, what if he's just a pro gun type of guy? And if he was like, you know,
is this your conservative? Is this your conservative?
Right.
PP.
No, but like, say he was just like, there's a thing that I saw that I thought was pretty interesting. Like, what if Ja Morant was a gun enthusiast who has a YouTube channel where he's cleaning guns, putting guns back and forth together?
That's completely okay. I mean, if the NBA is okay with that as a player, he's fine, but he's going to lose his contracts from Nike. From Powerade or Gatorade, I think that's another one of his. He loses that contract because that's just not the image they have.
Yeah. But what about getting?
He's not coming off as a gun enthusiast in his videos, anyways. Yeah. He's coming off
as a guy. Listen, NBA young boy flashing a gun. It's like, well, what are you? You know, I think I was with Shannon Sharp in the morning. He's like, this guy makes $40 million a year. $40 million.
Holy shit!
He's a $200 million contract. It's pissing away.
Does the team use this? No, he was supposed to be NBA All Team, and it's a $38 million. I'm wrong on the figure, but he would have made that in addition to if he made the NBA All Team, or he would be able to get some kind of contract. It's not worth the video, man. Not worth it.
Now I don't know how NBA contracts are.
And he's not from the streets. He's not from that side of the tracks. That's the best part of it. This is not a gangster. He's like a dude who grew up in Cal somewhere going to Malton and flexing. Yeah. That's the analogy I'll give you guys. I think everybody can understand that. Like, no, you don't need to do this. Go back to your $1 million home. You know, so it's interesting. I think there's something wrong with him personally.
I don't know, is
it an old video? We don't even know that. Is it a new? It was live.
No, right? It was new. It was off Insta Live. He can't even post. There was this one thing that I was wondering is, say he's going to, they're saying expect him to be suspended for 4 months or something, 40 days or 40 games or something, half a season. What if it's built in his contract, like there's morality clauses? Because I hear about these all the time where with sponsorship deals, there's some sort of morality clause. If now the team Memphis knows that, you know what, we really can't build a team around him. He's not that
great. Oh, he's gone.
Let's get out of this contract. Let's just pull that morality clause against him and...
He's going to lose his Nike contract. That's the big one. Like, they're going to trade him. That's it. Then he's going to have to rebuild. And the question is, does he have the mental capacity or the fortitude or to the understanding of realizing that he's not, he's, like you said, he pissed his career away. But he should have realized that the first time. The first time.
Is he starting his Antonio Brown descent? You know?
It's got to be one of the worst. I don't know. I don't say. I was a Ja Morant fan. Going, I was like, yo, this kid's gonna be the future. This kid's killing it. It's so fun to watch. Is he Carter? Is he AI? I don't know. And now it's just like he's an idiot. You know, he's just an idiot. Fuck him. I don't really.
It's one thing if it's like that's how you grew up and that's where you're from and like you know you're getting caught and that can be solved easily. He's not even like what is it? Is just a kid? Is just I don't get it.
But imagine spending all the hours it takes to become a pro athlete, all the countless like training and
it was just not as in his head. At least he doesn't think it was as hard. Like no big deal.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. It's just such a bizarre thing for someone to reach the pinnacle and just, and he was just getting started, and now it's kind of like, yeah, it's done. Fuck it.
Yeah, and if he needs help, I hope he gets the helping that he needs.
I mean,
but
I mean, it's not a help thing. It's not a mental health issue thing here.
He went to rehab, literally. Like, have
you guys?
Ago.
Did you guys watch the tweet from Kwame Brown, the no. former number one pick?
Yeah.
Just listen to it. That's enough.
I'll have to take that out.
He's just calling him stupid, right? It's just, it's, there's nothing else to say there. In essence, what he's doing is just acting like a child, right? The question is he going to grow up? But it's the money, man. That's a lot of money to lose.
I'd be not, so hurt.
No, but I mean, isn't his parents like, what are you doing? Right?
They're like,
his dad's always at the game. He must have some pull, right?
It's no. Talking about complete descent into shit. Raji Dane, final thoughts on the Leafs?
Go Jays, go!
Yeah, I want to give you the send. Let's give you your moment to.
All right. Well, having the Leafs sucked, but it is what it is. They got too complacent. The core four didn't show up. That's really what lost us. A bit of coaching, yeah, that's fine, but the core four didn't show up, and you know that's on the higher management, the coach's fault for not getting them engaged. Overall, I'm going to keep it short. I do like Doobie. I do like that he tries. He made moves. He's at fault for committing to this core four. Like, that's his ticket. That's what he's going to be known for. But overall, like, I do like him as a GM. We've had some terrible, terrible GMs in my memory. So out of them, he's the best one. Do I want him to go? No. I think a coaching change is fair. And maybe one of the four gets shipped out.
But the coaching changes, he's tied to the coach, right?
No.
The GM. The GM's coach. Yeah, they came up together, right? He has a relationship with Sean Keith.
Brought him up as soon as Babcock left. I got dismissed. He brought him up. First as interim, and then he stayed on. But
I'm just saying they have a past relationship where Kyle Dubas was.
But at his end of year, you know, interview, as that happened today, he didn't say that, you know, Keith is back for sure. He said anything is on the table, even Keith, like, it's up in the air. So
do
let's
you think it's back. A do you, from your analysis, you think it's a coaching issue?
I think coaching. Look, when you have these four players, you've committed to like a style of play where it's, you know, the offense is what is going to drive this team rather than the truculence and rather than having a strong back end. So, you know, from that's something that stems down from Shanny all the way down. But the coaching, like, these four players did not play up to their potential, and that's on the coach.
But is it, you don't think it's on them?
To a certain extent, yeah. But like, look, coaches have been able to extract the best out of their players at key moments, and that's what a coach's job is. They're not teaching them how to play hockey anymore at that level. Okay. There's a psychology behind what they do as well. And if you aren't hitting the right buttons, there maybe like the voice in the room is the wrong voice.
Let's say new coach. Same core, two playoffs, same result. At what point do you blow it up?
Coach, new system.
New coach,
new system,
same guys.
New pieces. Obviously, you know, pieces as well.
Yeah, they got to keep adding. Let's say they keep up, but the core, the contracts that they have. At what point do they go, okay, that's not the combination?
Well, okay, look, Austin's 25. Willie's like 26 or 27. Mitch is like 25, 26.
So 2 years they got, you think?
These guys can play elite level hockey until they're 30. So at what point? Who is going to risk their job and get rid of all these guys?
And one or two or just...
One can go this year. One can
You think it's going to happen?
I think it's possible.
Wow.
I don't think Austin goes because you can't...
No, that's the face of the team.
Centers, wingers, you can always get.
How do you guys feel about Florida now that after it's all said and done? There's that video of like, we want Florida,
dude, that was stupid.
South Florida teams, man.
On this pod, rewind that shit. I asked for Boston.
You did. You actually did. I do remember that. But, I mean, imagine the Heat and the Panthers win. South Florida's having a good time.
Yeah, having a good time.
And they both came in the... They're both eight seats, aren't they?
Are you okay with the fans being memed here at all?
We deserve it, man.
The way people are celebrating after first round as if they had just won the...
Those were my words. It's like, slow down.
But, like, yeah, that we want Miami shit.
The tweets were hilarious. Congratulations, Toronto. It's like,
plan a parade.
It's like one round, man. Come on. The second round's going to hurt even more. Imagine the third round. Could you imagine that? Or the conference final if they lost? So that would have been more hard. Like,
No. But the goal was, look,
if you've been swept.
The goal was conference finals.
Oh, is that the goal?
I thought that would have been a
respectable
goal. Yeah.
Yeah.
If this series went to six or seven, would that have been respectable? Would that have been different?
No. To be honest, this year, like, shit lined up for them. If they could play up to their potential, they had a solid path to the finals. They fucked up.
How about the Oilers, man?
Oh, yo, did you see McJesus' face after?
Mm-hmm.
Pissed. He's got 2 years left.
Yeah, exactly. How much longer do I got to wait?
You can't take that any longer, man.
Can you combine him with Matthews, or are they always going to be like rivals?
No, you can combine them, but hockey doesn't do that. It's not basketball. People have
super teams.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Charles Barkley, he's an interview coming out, but I heard this like bit of it.
The Leafs are done.
He was talking about how, like, there's a Winnipeg player who got hit in the face during the game, took 75 stitches, came back. He said if a basketball player did that, he'd retire, right? They got 75 stitches during a game. They'd retire. It's kind of funny because that sport is soft as fuck.
I mean, there was a thing from Steve Nash ages ago during that finals run that they were pushing back in the early 2000s where he had this huge hard foul, had to go back to get stitches in the third quarter, literally came back in the fourth. And in an interview, they're asking him, they're like, you know, you kind of came back quick with that noseplate and a bunch of stitches. He's like, bro, my brother-in-law plays hockey. You think he's going to let me live it down if I didn't come back to the game after that?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, I remember like these guys are, I heard another pod talking about it. How about Paul Pierce? I think it was Paul Pierce left.
Because he took a shit in his pants.
Wheelchair?
He faked an injury. He faked an injury because he had to relieve himself.
Sometimes biological breaks happen.
No, but it's faking the injury is the best part.
I mean, he just took a book out of what was the wrestler, the dentist or something. This guy got
Isaac Yankum.
Isaac Yankum. Yeah, he had the notorious bring out a brown stretcher because he just shit his pants.
Yeah, no, it's not a tough sport, but yeah, man, I feel Oilers. That's a tough one too. But fuck every other team in Canada except the Leafs.
Canadian team, man. Yeah, I thought this was the year.
No.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's Leafs or nothing. I don't want any other market to win in Canada.
Anything? Any comments on Seattle? Less.
Seattle's lost.
They just lost.
Oh, did they just lose?
Dallas just won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a whole thing on what if Seattle wins this? Is it like the greatest run for a first year team?
Vegas. No, because Vegas did it already.
Did they?
Yeah, they did it
first year. Colorado won in their expansion year as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so then I guess this it wouldn't be as near big of a
thing. I think they get a lot of advantages when they open up in terms of trades, don't they? Is that why they get in there? They can build a pretty good roster. Yeah.
They get made pretty competitive pretty fast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so that's
not as quick as Seattle did, but Vegas did, but still, like, you're looking at like 3 to 5 years.
Wasn't Colorado already kind of pre-built? They just moved all the pieces it wasn't a complete rebuild. It was have a great team, and then as soon as they leave, they make a. That's gotta hurt Quebec. We had a Stanley Cup team here in
Nordiques.
All right, on that note, thank you all for listening, as always. Be sure to comment. I don't know, do we have a question of the week?
No
one really pays attention. I don't think too many people make it out this far.
So give us a challenge. Golf's not a challenge.
At least not for me. I'm not even... I mean, I guess the challenge for me is, can I walk 5 kilometers? We struggle to make that and meet, so.
Maybe just actually do a...
Give us a real challenge, like, who can eat the most pizzas?
Oh, God, no.
That's something I'm ready for.
Bring it.
Bring it. But yeah, if you make it this far in the podcast, give us a shout, give us a comment on Twitter or something. Just let us know that you're still out there. But till next week, or probably 2 weeks. I like the bi-weekly. We get a little bit more of a topic range. Unless it's like crazy, but
it's we'll the summer. Back. Forgive us.
Yeah. It should be bi-weekly. Yeah, I think it should.
We might be bi-weekly for most of the summer anyways. So
bi-monthly, bi-yearly. We're on track.
One day we'll have like a full-on studio.
Yes, one day.
Till then, peace.
Peace.